Hello. Our topic today is the benefits of systemic enzyme therapy and how these enzymes can help increase longevity, decrease chronic conditions, and lead you to better health. But first, let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is David Getoff. I'm a nationally board-certified clinical nutritionist, a board-certified traditional naturopath, a certified nutritional consultant, and an elected member of both the American College of Nutrition and the International College of Integrative Medicine. I am a member of the New York Academy of Sciences and a fellow of the American Association of Integrative Medicine. I hold licenses or certifications in both New York and North Carolina. I am an approved continuing education provider for the California Board of Registered Nursing, and I am on the teaching staff of the American College of Integrative Medicine and Dentistry in New Jersey. I am the co-author of a book titled Reduce Blood Pressure Naturally, and I have developed and produced over a dozen educational DVDs and CDs on topics including diabetes, cancer, heart disease, detoxification, healthy eating, raw milk, and many others. I've been helping people to improve their health for well over 30 years and have had a full-time private practice in naturopathy and clinical nutrition for about 20 years in Southern California. Now let's move on to systemic enzymes, a topic I love dearly due to how many lives I have seen greatly benefited by the use of these substances. The first thing you may be asking yourself is, what are enzymes and why are they so important? You may already be familiar with digestive enzymes and how they help your body to break down food and therefore better absorb nutrients. But enzymes go far beyond digestion. There are more than 3,000 known enzymes in the human body, and they are all biocatalysts for close to 7,000 chemical reactions associated with all of our body's most important functions: breathing, growth, reproduction, and many other metabolic functions rely on enzymes. Simply put, without enzymes, we cannot live. Now that you know a bit more about what enzymes are, the next question is, what are systemic enzymes? The word systemic, as it relates to systemic enzymes, simply indicates that the enzymes are being utilized throughout the entire body rather than just for the purposes of digesting food. In other words, systemic enzymes don't merely focus on one area of the body. They work throughout your entire body, where they provide a variety of different benefits. Before I discuss some of their specific benefits, let me give you a brief history of the therapeutic use of systemic enzymes around the world. Enzyme preparations were first used by a Scottish physician named John Beard. In 1912, Dr. Beard discovered that the pancreas of any patient with pancreatic cancer was not making adequate pancreatic juices. Dr. Beard surmised that there was something in these pancreatic juices that prevented cancer from setting in, and so he decided to make extracts from sheep pancreas and give it to these patients. And the results were that most of these patients got better. When others tried to duplicate Dr. Beard's studies, they did not get the same results. But they weren't using the same fresh pancreas that Beard had used. Instead, the other researchers were letting the pancreas tissue lie around, and they were doing other things differently from Beard's procedure as well. So in fact, they had not duplicated his research. Nonetheless, his research was considered to be quackery, and his results were discarded as bogus. No one thought about it again until the 1920s and 1930s, when a young Austrian physician, working at both Columbia and New York universities, named Dr. Max Wolf, began to once again study enzymes. Dr. Wolf was an endocrinologist and an OBGYN who worked with enzymes until his death in 1973. He was looking for the substances which caused other things to happen in the body. Dr. Wolf picked up on Dr. Beard's work and began to isolate individual enzymes. Enzymes are living things, and he was able to maintain the life of the enzymes and put them into suspended animation so that he could work with them and use them therapeutically. During the late 1950s and early 60s, he perfected his particular blend of enzymes, and a German company under the leadership of a famous immunologist and enzymologist, Dr. Karl Ronsberger, started manufacturing these enzymes and selling them publicly. Dr. Ronsberger can be credited with most of the early research validating both the absorption and therapeutic use of enzymes. Dr. Ronsberger can also be credited with bringing enzymes into therapeutic use both in hospitals and with athletes. Now we fast forward to the 21st century, and systemic enzymes have finally found their way into everyday life. you can now go into your local nutrition store, buy various brands of systemic enzymes, and take them as a daily supplement to help improve your health and well-being, as well as your body's ability to heal. Listing the ways that systemic enzymes provide demonstrable benefits would include benefits in the following five major categories. They are natural anti-inflammatory agents. They eat, or rather they digest, scar tissue, and often even fibroid tumors. They help modulate the immune system. They cleanse the blood by digesting debris that should not be in healthy blood. And they fight viruses, most likely by breaking down the virus wall to better allow the immune system to identify and destroy the virus. Let's discuss each of these in a bit more detail. First, enzymes serve as natural anti-inflammatory agents. Inflammation can be caused by a protein chain called circulating immune complexes, or CICs, that are created when a person is injured. Let's say, for example, that you injure your shoulder. Your immune system then receives a signal from the injured shoulder that says, "I'm irritated." The immune system then creates a CIC, which travels directly to your injured shoulder. It's tagged with a special protein just for that shoulder. That CIC then moves into the injured shoulder and causes inflammation. The classic definition of inflammation is redness, swelling, and pain. It's a signal to you that says, "Stop using me, I'm hurt. Give me some time to rest and to heal." The problem is that inflammation is a self-perpetuating mechanism. The inflammation itself will send a signal to the immune system to create more CICs, and the chain just goes on and on, well past the time that you were originally hurt. Enzymes act by eating away at those CICs. There are two kinds of CICs in the body. Those tagged, so that the enzymes consider them to be endogenous or belonging to the body, and those that the body tags as being exogenous or not belonging to the body. In other words, it looks like a piece of steak floating in your bloodstream. Enzymes are lock and key mechanisms. The keys only fit a certain kind of lock. They will go after what they consider to be an exogenous protein and leave alone what they consider to be an endogenous protein or a protein of your own that belongs there. The good CICs run your kidneys and maintain kidney function. They maintain the lining of your intestines, and they help to clean out your liver. When you don't have those CICs floating around, you're in trouble, so it's important not to destroy them. Fortunately, when enzymes work as anti-inflammatory agents, they will go in and eat away only the CICs they deem to be exogenous and leave the healthy ones and helpful ones alone. This is quite different from many of the over-the-counter medications that most people take to control pain. These non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which we abbreviate as NSAIDs, include drugs such as aspirin, ibuprofen, and others, and they shut down almost all of the CIC production. When this occurs, it reduces renal function, which means you shut down some of the function of your kidneys. If your kidney function decreases too much, you're dead. You also create liver toxicity, and you don't renew the lining in your intestines, so your own gastric juices may begin to bore holes through your own intestines, through which you can bleed out and hemorrhage. We've all been led to believe that aspirin, ibuprofen, and other non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, again, we will simply call them NSAIDs, are safe. But they're actually very, very dangerous. In fact, tens of thousands of Americans wind up in hospitals every year due to the side effects of taking NSAIDs. Worse yet, many thousands of these same individuals die from the side effects of these NSAIDs every year. Why risk taking NSAIDs when you have an all-natural, completely safe alternative like systemic enzymes that only go after the CICs the body doesn't need, the exogenous ones, and leave alone the endogenous ones that are important for protecting us? The second benefit of systemic enzymes is that they eat fibrosis. Fibrosis, better known as scar tissue, is part of the body's natural repair mechanism. When you cut your finger as a child, it would heal with pliable, super strong replacement tissue instead of a visible scar. Within a few months, you wouldn't be able to see that you had even cut yourself. But what happens as you get older? What happens if you get a similar cut on your finger? It becomes thicker, much less pliable, much more visible, isn't as strong, and never completely goes away. You can even still see where you had been injured decades later. There are a few different mechanisms to the body's healing and repair. The first thing the body does is shoot fibrin through a wound to give the tissue something to grow on. For example, imagine you're building a skyscraper. First, you create the skeleton of the skyscraper. Then you cover the skyscraper just as your body generates new flesh over the fibrin. So first, it creates a lot of fiber. The body knows exactly how much fibrin is ideal for that particular wound. Then the second part of the repair mechanism begins, and the new tissue grows through the fibrin to make our new healthy flesh. The third part is when the enzymes come in. They come in and they eat away the extra fibrin to leave only that good, smooth, healed skin. As we become deficient in enzymes, that third part of the mechanism doesn't work as well, certainly not as well as it did when we were younger. So you have the deposition of the fiber, but you don't have the proper clearing away of the extra fiber, and so the final result is you see the scar for the rest of your life. So imagine, if you will, that you have a skyscraper, and you put up so much structural steel that you can't put in the floors. You can't put in the walls. You can't put in the stairs. And then you can't put in the people, much less the chairs and the desks and everything else. That's basically what happens when the body doesn't have enough enzymes to clear away the fibrin that was generated. When you have surgery, especially with abdominal surgery, a very large amount of scar tissue builds up to the point where some individuals develop a strangulation of their bowels. The surgeon then has to go back in again and remove all that scar tissue. These additional operations will, of course, breed even more scar tissue, and the cycle goes on and on. Enzymes are the body's way of eating away at the fibrin that is no longer required. We'll discuss this a little bit more in a little while. The third function of enzymes is to serve as an immune modulator. If your immune system is functioning at too low a level, enzymes will bring the system back and improve the ability of the white blood cells to kill off disease-producing pathogens. Enzymes can also increase the number of natural killer cells that the immune system creates and will try to restore a homeostatic balance. In this instance, the enzymes are adaptogenic. On the flip side, if the immune system is attacking things it shouldn't, such as in autoimmune conditions, then the enzymes will downregulate the immune system and eat away the antibodies that the immune system is creating to attack its own tissue. The fourth enzyme function is to serve as a blood cleanser. Blood is not only the river of life, it's also the river of garbage. It not only brings nutrients and oxygen to our tissues, it also washes away all of our metabolic waste products and debris. Our blood passes through our liver, where enzymes help to purify it. If we don't have enough enzymes to remove all of the waste, then it builds up and the blood may become too thick and too sticky. This condition is referred to as hypercoagulability. A person's blood can become much thicker than healthy blood is supposed to be, and when this happens, it doesn't flow nearly as well, and it doesn't reach all of our tissues properly, since it can no longer pass through many of the much smaller capillaries. Enzymes will eat away at the excess fibrin in the blood, and then eat away and remove all the necrotic debris that the body has been trying to get rid of, but that the liver hasn't been able to digest. The results of this blood cleansing can be striking. If you look at your blood through dark field microscopy before taking enzymes, and then compare it to your blood just an hour after taking enzymes, you'll see a substantial difference. Your blood will look much cleaner, will flow much better, and have less platelet aggregation. Platelet aggregation is the clumping together of blood platelets, which makes it more difficult for the blood to flow, especially through our capillaries, which are smaller and narrower blood vessels. Platelet aggregation can also lead to blood clots. Actually, it is the clumping together of platelets in the blood, platelet aggregation, which is part of the sequence of events leading to the formation of a thrombus, or a blood clot. The final benefit of enzymes is that they serve as virus fighters. Viruses harm us by replicating in our bodies, actually inside the cells. To do this, a virus must bond itself to DNA in our cells through a medium of its exterior protein wall. Anything that can disrupt that wall will inhibit the ability of a virus to replicate and render it inert. Systemic enzymes can determine the difference between proteins which our body needs and foreign proteins such as those found in viruses. If you utilize a substantial amount of systemic enzymes, you could lower your viral load to the point where you might hardly ever get sick. We discussed earlier how our bodies contain more than 3,000 enzymes, but not all enzymes carry equal importance. All of the enzymes in your body, whether it's bromelain or papain from foods, or any other enzymes, actually become activated by the strongest fibrinolytic enzyme that you have. That enzyme takes the lead and causes your other enzymes to work. Of all the fibrinolytic enzymes on our planet, serrapeptase is the strongest one we know of. Serrapeptase is made by silkworms and is used by them to break down, or rather to digest, their silk cocoons so that the silk moth can emerge when it's ready to complete its transformation. Silk is one of the strongest substances ever studied, and yet this enzyme digests its fibrin to allow the silk moth to emerge. This same extremely strong enzyme activity is what makes serrapeptase an excellent choice for breaking down unwanted and no longer required fibrin and scar tissue in the human body. Anything that can dissolve silk would be considered a super strong fibrinolytic agent. Serrapeptase is the key enzyme and base ingredient in the world's best systemic enzyme supplements. Be aware, however, that not all systemic enzyme supplements take advantage of the power of serrapeptase. There are some supplements on the market that use animal-derived enzymes such as trypsin and chymotrypsin instead. While trypsin and chymotrypsin do provide benefits, studies have shown that serrapeptase is more than 17 times stronger. So taking a serrapeptase-based supplement should provide you with a more powerful product. In addition, when used commercially in systemic enzymes, serrapeptase is cultured and naturally processed through fermentation. That means it is suitable for vegetarians to ingest. Trypsin and chymotrypsin both come from animal sources. Animal-derived enzymes come from a different source, in other words, a different specific animal, each time they're extracted. This makes it more difficult for the manufacturers to try and control the purity, potency, and consistency of their products. There's one more important note you should remember about serrapeptase. Serrapeptase is a wonderful product. Some people even refer to it as the miracle enzyme. As great as serrapeptase is by itself, it works even better when it's combined in a formulation containing other ingredients such as bromelain, papain, rutin, and amylase, since they work synergistically with the serrapeptase. This is why you'll get more benefits from taking a well-formulated systemic enzyme supplement than you would simply from taking serrapeptase. Now you know a bit more about what enzymes do, but if our bodies produce their own enzymes naturally, why do we still need to take supplemental enzymes in addition? There is actually a very simple explanation. When we were young, our bodies had plenty of enzymes. Generally speaking, the body has a sufficient supply of enzymes through somewhere around the age of 25. Once we reach our mid-20s, our enzyme levels begin to decrease dramatically. By the time most people reach 35, their enzyme level is much lower than it was only a decade earlier. The reason for this is that we appear to make only a finite amount of enzymes during our lifetime, and we were originally designed to eat only raw foods as we did not even know how to make a fire. This meant that we ingested an adequate quantity of enzymes from our raw foods, and so we did not need to use up as many of the enzymes that we make in our bodies. In current times, however, we use up a large percentage of our own enzymes by the time we're about 27, since we eat mostly cooked foods devoid of their natural original enzyme activity. 3 days after you've produced your last systemic enzyme, you would die, because you would no longer have enough enzymes left to kickstart thousands of chemical reactions in your body. For this reason, it can be extremely beneficial to add back in some high-quality systemic enzymes to supplement the deficient quantity that many of us have in our bodies. Once we reach our mid-20s and our enzyme production slows down, we also begin to build varying degrees of fibrosis in our internal organs. This fibrosis is eventually what kills many of us, because as the fibrosis builds in the tissues of our internal organs, the organ's usable area diminishes in size. As the organ's abilities diminish in this way, their overall ability to function is reduced. A good example of this can be found in cadavers. If you've ever worked with a young cadaver, you typically see fully formed organs that are soft and look like a healthy organ should look. If you instead examine the organs in a more senior-aged cadaver, the organs often look like raisins. They often appear dried out and substantially smaller. Occasionally, they actually increase in size, since the existing organ's tissue is so fibrotic that the body must increase the size of the organ in order to get its job done properly. With this decrease or increase in size, the added fibrosis results in a lessening of the organ's function. Eventually, that's one of the things that kills us. This doesn't just happen to the internal viscera, it occurs in the brain and the blood vessels as well. This scarring over forms a matrix on which arteriosclerotic plaque gets laid down. You're not just getting calcium, fat, and heavy metal buildup. You also suffer from a process that starts with a spider web of scar tissue across the internal portion of your blood vessels due to the strain, overwork, or weak blood vessels. The blood vessels then build connective tissue to shore themselves up, but on that connective tissue, fat, calcium, and heavy metals accrue and form arteriosclerotic plaque. We have a really strange phenomenon occurring with a very interesting disease called fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia patients suffer from pain caused by tissue fibrosis. But a fibromyalgia patient can be given pain medication and psychotropic drugs, and yet it does not alleviate their pain. Why? It comes down to poor circulation. When a patient has a heart attack, the doctor knows that the heart is going to hurt for 3 days. However, the doctor doesn't prescribe pain meds because he knows they won't work. That's because the pain is caused by ischemia, the medical term for inadequate blood flow. When you were a child, you might have experienced this if you put a rubber band too tightly around your wrist. Your hand would soon start to turn blue or purple and begin to throb, and the more you tried to move it, the more it throbbed and the more it hurt. The only thing that alleviated the pain was to remove the rubber band and restore your circulation. Once the oxygen supply returns to the tissues, you're not in pain anymore. In fibromyalgia, we see the multifactorial mechanism where stress and fibrosis production from estrogen dominance produce a lot of scarring in the muscle tissues, and the results are very similar to putting that rubber band around your wrist. Everyone focuses on the symptoms of fibromyalgia, but no one seems to hone in on the root cause, the fibrin. When you have fibromyalgia, there is an interlacing of fibrin in the muscle tissue, which cuts off full circulation and results in pain. Pain medications and psychotropics often don't help. The pain isn't going to go away until you eat away the fibrosis with the enzymes, which will then release any toxic substances, including heavy metals, that may have been stored in the fibrosis. Since this accumulation of fibrotic tissue usually takes many years, there are very few fibromyalgia patients younger than 27, and those patients who are younger than 27 almost always have enzyme deficiencies. What causes fibrosis? Stress and estrogen dominance can be major factors. We all have stress, and both men and women do get estrogenic effects from petrochemical fumes, synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, plastics, and soy. Any isoflavone is an estrate. These substances increase the amount of fibrin production. Since stress is already challenging the immune system and the body is running low, the body will just lay down fibrin on top of fibrin. Enzymes, however, will eat away the fibrosis from fibromyalgia and postoperative scar tissue as well, and combat the fibrosis that is creating the matrix of arteriosclerotic plaque in the arteries. Here's a great story that illustrates the healing power of enzymes. In 1970, Dr. Carl Ransberger, who we spoke of earlier, was diagnosed with severe glomerular sclerosis. That's a scarring of the internal filtering portion of the kidneys. Doctors told him he would be dead by 1973, but he knew the enzymes he was producing would help eat away the fibrosis that was clogging his kidneys, and he took a handful of his enzymes several times a day. He survived until 2001, 28 years longer than the death sentence the experts had given him. Now that we've talked about how enzymes can help reduce fibrosis, let's discuss how they can help alleviate inflammation and pain. The majority of all pain is the result of inflammation. But what if you were able to restore our enzymes to the level we had when we were, say, 18 years old? Did you have any chronic pain in your teens? Of course not, except for when you occasionally hurt yourself, and that was temporary pain. You thought you were superhuman. At age 18, you felt invincible. You most likely didn't suffer from any regular backaches or nagging knee pains or any of the other chronic debilitating conditions we often experience, generally referred to as arthritic, as we get older. Inflammation is produced by a variety of different causes. Environmental stress, environmental toxins, overwork, and overexercising can all produce inflammation. For every day of moderately hard exercise you do, 2 or 3 days of some amount of immune suppression will follow. That means you have inflamed muscle and joint tissues from the exercise, even if you didn't actually hurt yourself, since you did, in fact, injure some of your tissues during that exercise. When you have this continual level of micro-injuries, they often accumulate to become macro-injuries. Your minor inflammation adds up to become major inflammation. Inflammation is a self-perpetuating mechanism. It's hard to reduce, and you can feel like you've become stuck with chronic inflammation. Inflammation is partially a result of a lack of enzymes. So if you can increase your enzyme levels, you should have substantially less inflammation. What about vitamins and minerals? Every vitamin and mineral can act as a coenzyme, which means it's something that helps an enzyme work. Here's an interesting sidebar. Have you ever heard of Dr. Paul Kellogg, Dr. Paula Erla, Dr. Carlton Fredericks, or Dr. Bernard Jensen? These individuals have often been referred to as the gods of natural health. Yet Jensen died of prostate cancer, Fredericks died of lung cancer, Erla had a massive stroke, and Dr. Kellogg suffered a heart attack. Now let's contrast them with Paul Bragg, who is known as the pioneer of the healthy food movement. Bragg died at the age of 96 with all of his own hair, all of his own teeth, and the body of a beach boy. Bragg ate primarily raw foods and took a variety of different enzymes. He exemplified how a naturally healthy person is supposed to live because he combined not only the vitamins and minerals, but he also incorporated exercise and enzymes into his daily routine. Without enzymes, many vitamins and minerals simply cannot work properly. Why do we take magnesium and zinc, for example? Because magnesium activates at least 2,600 enzymes, and zinc activates another 600. Enzymes need to be activated in order to work. Unfortunately, Dr. Bragg's mechanism for taking enzymes doesn't work as well today as it did back then because of the way agribusiness is currently treating our food supply. Unless you grow your own foods or shop at a farmer's market, most of the vegetables and fruits you eat today have been hanging around in cold storage for the better part of weeks or even a month or more. If you're eating fruits and vegetables that are out of season here in the United States, that means they probably came from somewhere south of Ecuador, and who knows how long ago they were picked and where they've been sitting around. This information is important because enzymes die quickly, and raw foods, such as fruits, can lose much of their enzyme activity during a relatively short period of time. Unless you have your very own orange, kiwi, plum, pear, peach, grapefruit, etc., all being picked from your very own trees, and a bunch of plants growing all of your own fresh vegetables so you can eat them shortly after they've been picked, you are not getting very many of these important enzymes. In other words, we need to supplement our enzymes. When you aren't getting minerals you need from the ground, you supplement. When you aren't getting enough vitamins, you supplement. So if you aren't getting enough enzymes, you need to supplement with these as well. That's just the way the world works. With our current poor quality and rarely ever fresh-picked foods, these supplementations are quite necessary. What's really great is that these enzyme supplements are also safe for animals. Many pet owners give them to their dogs and cats to help with hip dysplasias and arthritis. There is a case of a veterinarian at Texas A&M University who wanted to find something to treat heartworm in cats because heartworm medications can kill cats almost as often as it kills the heartworm, and that's obviously not a good thing. This vet reasoned that since parasites are exogenous proteins that don't belong in the body, he believed enzymes might kill them by digesting them. He started supplementing a very sick cat with systemic enzymes, and lo and behold, several weeks later, he tested the cat, and there wasn't a trace of parasites anywhere. The heartworms were gone, and the cat was now healthy and happy. The bottom line is, enzymes work, but finding your correct activation dose is important and not always easy. First, you need to remember that systemic enzymes are empty stomach enzymes. That means that they need to be taken away from food and contact as little food as possible as they pass through to your intestines. Secondly, you need to remember that any food, herb, drug, or nutritional supplement may cause a disagreeable effect in some people. If you just happen to be one of those extremely few people who get such an effect when you use systemic enzymes, please listen closely. I've used these enzymes in my practice with my patients and have been recommending them in my classes and medical presentations for well over a decade, and I always have people start slowly. In my office, I recommend one soft gel twice a day on an empty stomach for the first week, then two for the second week, and then three twice a day for the third week and after. I may go much higher for certain conditions. Starting slowly like this allows the enzymes to begin to clean up the body at a rate that usually avoids overloading and causing any symptoms. Remember that since you are breaking down old tissues and releasing things which we want to eliminate from the body, doing so too rapidly might be faster than an ill or already overloaded body can easily handle. For those who keep getting any kind of undesirable symptoms at the doses that I want to use, I always recommend they do 2 to 4 months of liver and kidney support with some good herbal or homeopathic products to clean up those organs and allow them to better deal with all the toxic substances that the enzymes will be helping the body to eliminate and release. Of course, if you happen to be one of those 1 in a million individuals who, even after adequate liver and kidney support, still don't like the way you feel on systemic enzymes, then you should not continue to take them. Third, if you have a stomach ulcer, you probably need to heal that ulcer before you take any kind of systemic enzyme product, because they often aggravate the ulcer. Although I must admit I have some patients for which this aggravation did not occur, and they believe that the enzymes even helped them to heal their ulcer. Fourth, I need to explain 2 ways that enzymes may cause you to incorrectly believe that your body doesn't want them. The first is that enzymes can cause loose stool when you first start taking them. What's happening is that the enzymes are breaking down old food and helping your body eliminate it. Somewhere in your small or large intestine, there was some food that was not properly broken down, and it's still there. And the systemic enzymes get all the way down there, they release themselves, and since there's food around, they digest and break down that food, and it liquefies, and you wind up with some loose stool, or even possibly a little bit of diarrhea for a few days. The second, as I mentioned earlier, is that toxic substances can accumulate in scar tissue and in arterial plaque. So the enzymes break down this old scar tissue or plaque, and they can release these toxic substances, which in turn can cause fatigue, headaches, dizziness, or skin reactions as your body eliminates them. So your body is doing good things, but you may feel some fatigue or get some loose stool, and you think maybe this is bad. Although, of course, this is possible, more likely you just needed to temporarily decrease the dose, start again more slowly, gradually build your dose back up again, or possibly even find someone to recommend a good set of liver and kidney support products for you to take for a few months first. Here's an example I often give as to why things have to be done slowly. Think of a filthy, dusty room. You're going to need to be really careful how you clean that filthy, dusty room and how quickly you begin to clean it. Otherwise, you're going to make a mess. You're going to have dust flying all over the place. You're going to be coughing, and you're going to need a dust mask or a medical respirator because you've stirred up all that dust. Systemic enzymes may be stirring up some of the bad things that you want to get out of your body. If you stir them up too quickly, you might cause an effect you don't like. Because of everything I just said, I always tell my patients and students to start out slowly. Generally, I describe dosing this way. Empty stomach means 2.5 hours or more after you've had anything to eat. Any kind of food at all except water. Water is fine because it's not going to be digested by an enzyme. After 2.5 hours, you now take your systemic enzyme soft gels, and then you don't have any food after the enzyme for at least 30 minutes, and 45 minutes is better. Next, I try to make it clear to everyone that you should begin with 1 capsule first thing in the morning. That's the emptiest stomach you're ever going to have, because you haven't been eating all night long while you're asleep. The second dose would be 2.5 hours after either lunch or dinner. Some people actually have to go buy a timer in a store to keep from forgetting that second dose. They set the timer for 2.5 hours, press the on button as soon as they finish their last bite of food during either lunch or dinner, and they carry the timer with them if they go to a different room. When it beeps, they take their second dose of enzymes, and that way they don't forget the second dose all the time. I also want them to remain at this dose, which is 1 capsule twice a day, generally for a full week. Then I have them go up to 2 capsules. That's twice a day, again, for a second week. That way, if we're causing a little bit of detox, or if we're breaking down a little bit of food in the intestine, we're not going to have any major problems because we're going slowly. We're just going to get a minor reaction, get over it in a day or so, and then go to the next dose. After they've been on 2 capsules twice a day for a week or two, very often we can raise that dose much faster if we want to. Since we're all different, not everyone can. Some people have to increase their dose very slowly all the time. Others, once they get to 2 twice a day, could jump to 4 twice a day if they want to. The program I usually put my patients on is to go up to 2 or 3 soft gels twice a day and remain at that dose for 1 month for every 10 years you've been on this planet. So, for example, If you have a 20-year-old, I would have them go on that dose of 2 to 3 soft gels twice a day for 2 months. They've been on this planet for 2 decades. A 30-year-old for 3 months. A 60-year-old for 6 months. And these are the bare minimums because everyone has different things going on in their lives, and I often go much longer than that, and I often go to much higher doses. Those are the minimums I use. Just to give you an example, I had a woman with advanced carpal tunnel syndrome, which was properly diagnosed by an MD neurologist. She wanted to try to avoid surgery, and that was what was being recommended by her physician. We slowly raised her dose to 15 capsules twice a day. And at 15 capsules, her pain vanished from both of her wrists. It was amazing. And it vanished even though she was still doing deep tissue massage on numerous clients every day, because she was a professional massage therapist. Please note that this woman was taking an older powder-filled systemic enzyme with the newer, more potent enteric-coated gel caps that I use today, made by the same company that I used back then. I probably would have only had to go to somewhere between 7 and 9 capsules a day instead of the 15 that I used then. Every few months, I had her try to reduce her dose, because 15 capsules twice a day, while not hurting her in any way, was costing quite a bit of money. So every once in a while, I'd have her try to reduce the dose to, let's say, maybe 13 capsules twice a day. And every time she'd say, "Can't do it. Every time I go down, the pain comes back." So we kept her at 15 twice a day. And after she'd been at that dose for about 18 months, she was finally able to reduce her dose to 12 capsules twice a day without any pain coming back. And after another few months, we got her down to 10 capsules twice a day, and then 8 capsules twice a day. When her home was destroyed in the October 2007 Southern California wildfire disaster, she forgot her systemic enzyme supplements when she evacuated her home. And she also forgot that she'd been taking them with all the turmoil of moving to temporary housing. All of a sudden, after about 3 weeks of not taking any systemic enzymes, she realized the pain was still gone. She had no symptoms of carpal tunnel whatsoever and hadn't remembered to take her enzymes for weeks. The tissue had apparently completely healed itself, which, according to the medical authorities, is impossible. Remember, she had advanced carpal tunnel, and physicians had wanted to do surgery on both wrists immediately about 2 years before. I know every detail of the story and exactly how it progressed because the woman I've been talking about is my wife, Linda. I now have her take a couple of the newer soft gels every day as a preventive, and because she still greatly stresses her hands every day doing deep tissue massage on her clients. Most deep tissue massage therapists cannot continue working in this type of occupation for the 25 years she has been doing so full-time because their body simply can't take the stress and strain. I know that the systemic enzymes she takes have greatly helped her exceptional diet to keep her going this long. I know I could go on for hours about the benefits of systemic enzymes, but there's one more thing that's important to note. It's been my observation that after you've received all the benefits you were looking for from taking systemic enzymes, which, of course, depending on your body, could take anywhere from, 6 months to a few years, a much lower dose may be used to hold on to those benefits and prevent you from going backwards as you continue to age. After all, since you're most likely not eating all of your fats, meats, vegetables, and fruit 100% raw, you will still benefit from taking in more enzymes than you are receiving from your foods. In other words, let's say you decide to take systemic enzymes to see what kind of benefits you might feel, and after 4 months or 6 months or 8 months or however long, you say, "Wow, all these different things are much better," and you write yourself a list of all the benefits you've had. Then after a few months of taking enzymes, you don't find you're experiencing any additional benefits, just all of those wonderful benefits you've already experienced. You can probably drop your dose down to 1 capsule twice a day, or maybe 2 capsules once a day, because if it's not increasing your improvement, you might as well try to save some money. Don't make a great product so expensive that you can't continue to afford it. I have some patients who, once their conditions were resolved, they simply stopped taking the enzymes. I have others who say, "Isn't my body going to start going slowly backwards again? Wouldn't I want to prevent that?" And I have to say, yes, you would. So take a capsule or two twice a day, or a couple of capsules once a day, and hold on to those benefits. That's what I do. Hopefully, you're now convinced to give systemic enzymes a try. With so many different enzymes on the market, the question is, how do you know which one will work best for you? Figuring that out can be a tricky business, and it's important to remember that as with any nutritional supplement, there can be extreme variability in both quality and efficacy of different products. We have no truth in labeling laws and no truth in advertising regulations in the United States. That's why you can watch advertisements on television for many different brands of detergents or automobiles or any other type of product, and they all tell you why their product is best. They can't all be best, so what happens? We get confused and can't figure out which brand is actually the best. Marketing, also called advertising, is there in order to make us believe that the product being marketed is the best one out there, and that's the one we should purchase. But since there's no truth in advertising, the marketing helps corporations sell us their product. It doesn't help us to determine which one is best. So what we must all understand is the first and most important rule of trying to find the best of everything. It's to locate a professional in the proper field who has used many of the different brands and compared them and their results with their own clients or patients to determine which one they like best and why. Basically, which one gives the best results when many different ones have been tried with the same people and with the same conditions being treated. I've used many, many different brands of systemic enzyme products. From the last 20 years, I've used products from companies in the United States, in Canada, in Germany, and probably even a few other countries. And my experience has taught me that the best brands generally have several key qualities. When choosing a systemic enzyme supplement, first and foremost, you want to be absolutely certain the capsules have a full enteric coating. This is important because to be effective, systemic enzymes need to reach your small intestine, where they can be absorbed into the bloodstream and then dispersed throughout your body. Enzymes are vulnerable to low pH levels, such as those found in the harsh, acidic environment of your stomach, and studies have shown that some enzymes without an enteric coating can lose up to 100% of their effectiveness in as little as 30 minutes or even less when exposed to those types of conditions. An enteric coating protects the gel cap's contents and ensures that none of the enzymes are being destroyed before reaching your small intestine. Some supplements claim to have a buffer or an armor that protects their enzymes, but that's not the same as an enteric coating. You want to make sure the product makes specific reference to an enteric coating to guarantee your enzymes are fully protected. Once you've narrowed your search down to supplements with an enteric coating, you want to focus on how the enzymes have been encapsulated. Most systemic enzymes come in either a capsule or a tablet form, but I prefer the newer one-piece gel caps, also called soft gels. Due to the issues that can arise during the tablet manufacturing process or in filling the two-piece capsules. Many tablet-based enzymes are created on the presses that run at extremely high temperatures, which often exceed 140 degrees Fahrenheit. Research has shown that when enzymes are exposed to temperatures in that range, their activity level can begin to markedly decrease, thus weakening the formula before it's even put in the bottle. The final step you want to look at is whether the supplement comes in a liquid or powder form. Powder formulas can be effective. However, powder-based formulations tend to be less consistent than liquid-based formulas because every particle in the powder formula is a different size and a different weight. That means when the ingredients go through the mixing process during their manufacturing, different ingredients might settle into larger quantities in one part of the container or in another part. Liquid formulations, as are used in the one-piece gel caps that I mentioned just a minute ago, provide for more even distribution of all the ingredients and more consistent dosing when the ingredients are then encapsulated. The bottom line is that I found the most effective systemic enzymes are those that come in the form of enteric-coated, liquid-filled gel caps. So let's recap it all right now. Enzymes can benefit us in a fairly large and diverse variety of different ways. They act as natural anti-inflammatories, they can digest scar tissue and fibroids, they help modulate our immune system, they cleanse our blood, they greatly reduce the time needed to heal injuries while helping to prevent scar tissue as the injuries are healing, and they help the body fight viruses. Enzymes occur naturally in our bodies. But by our mid-20s, our supply begins to diminish, which is why it's so beneficial to take a systemic enzyme supplement. Finally, during my many years of experience with many different enzyme supplements, I've learned that the best products have always been serapeptase-based, with a delivery system that includes a liquid formulation in an enteric-coated gel cap. Thank you again for taking the time to learn about systemic enzyme supplements and for your interest in improving your health. For more information on how to choose the best systemic enzyme supplement, visit www.enzymechoice.com. I am also required to give the following medical disclaimer. You've probably heard these many times before. This entire audio production is for educational purposes only. I am not telling you that you need to take systemic enzymes. I am not telling you which dose you have to take if you should decide to begin using a systemic enzyme product. That would be prescribing, and I can't prescribe for you. I don't even know you. I've never even met you. I'm simply giving you information on how these miraculous supplements have helped thousands of my students and patients, and I want you to know about it because I want other people to be able to benefit and to receive this knowledge and education and to let you know what things are available and how much I love these products. I wish you a long, healthy life. I wish you the wisdom and common sense necessary to determine fact from marketing hype and politics. Thank you. And good luck in improving your health.